What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Next Deal podcast. Today is a very special episode. As you can see, it's our Christmas episode. We've all dressed up, decorated our offices, and we're joined by a very special guest, Adam McChesney, who is here in St. Louis. Adam, Vince, how are you guys doing today?
Doing awesome. Good.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks for thanks for coming on. Can't talk today again for some reason. But very excited to have you on here. This episode's going to be a little bit different from the average episode we've done because Adam is not a real estate investor, correct?
That is correct.
All right. But Adam specializes in things that are very important to real estate investors and a need that we see in the marketplace and where a lot of real estate investors neglect themselves and their business. And this is going to be in the areas of SEO and branding. So, Adam, to kind of start off, could you just tell us a little bit about like how you got started and what you focus on right now?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. So here in St. Louis, married to my wife, Delaney, just had our first kid, Murphy, about 3 months ago. So new to being a dad and an entrepreneur. I got started in the kind of.
Congrats, dude.
Thank you very much. It's been a great experience so far. I kind of got started after college in what I would call medical device sales. It was at a life science company here in St. Louis, Missouri. So kind of cut my teeth in sales in general and traveled pretty much 75% of the time on the East Coast. I managed a 12-state territory. Did that for about 18 months where I was selling our products into medical institutions at colleges and universities, as well as private equity, people that were doing all types of cancer research and life science stuff. It was really cool, but ultimately it was a super small company, not a lot of upward mobility and growth and things like that. So about a year and a half in, I ended up getting on with a company called ResMed, selling actual medical equipment. So if anybody's familiar with CPAPs, the masks, the devices, all that stuff, I sold that for a little over 3 years. Started off in like an entry level role and then got promoted within 9 months to a key account manager. And in that role, I managed a $25 million a year territory here in the state of Missouri. And it was amazing. It was like my forever dream job that I thought of at the time because I wanted to work at a company like that. It was a phenomenal company, really good money. I made about $200,000 in my first full year in that role. Incredible workplace environment. I worked remote, traveled a bunch, but it was not by plane, which was awesome. But I kind of saw the writing on the wall of like what the future was going to hold because I'm the type of person that when I get to one level as an entrepreneur, I want to know what the next level is. And so I kind of had that mindset going into everything. And once I got promoted, I realized that the next promotion was going to be a little bit more money, but a lot more responsibility and a lot more travel. And I had just proposed to my now wife, Delaney. So I didn't have, a kid yet. Obviously, I wasn't married, but I was thinking about like what that was going to look like. And I looked at all these other people in the company that had all the money. They had multiple houses. They had all the cars, but they didn't have the freedom. They were always on planes. They were always doing stuff. And I'm like, if I want to go to that next level, that's going to be me. And I don't necessarily want that. So I was sitting in a hotel room in 2018, right before Thanksgiving, after traveling a bunch in Kansas City, Missouri. And I went to type into Google how to make money online. And I came across a variety of different stuff with like Amazon dropshipping, eBay reselling. I was even looking at actual real estate investment as well as a potential opportunity. And I got targeted by an ad that taught me how to build digital real estate in the form of digital marketing, basically being a digital landlord of sorts. So I bought this course. I paid $7,000 in 2018, and I started to build websites and then rank them on Google. Didn't do a whole lot in terms of like actually making money with the business because I didn't have time, but I was just building sites all the time. So I built up 200 websites from 2018 to 2020. And then when the pandemic hit, I had an opportunity to just go all in because all of our stuff was pretty much shut down in the medical device company. So I really, really doubled down for about 6 weeks. We ended up buying our forever dream home with the W-2 from ResMed. And then I went full steam ahead in July of 2020. And I've had a variety of different agency experience. I ran my own agency where I did the work all myself for about the first year. Then I became a franchisee of Height Digital. Now I'm a partner at all of Height Digital. We got about 600 clients in a variety of different industries, but I also own an auto glass repair company here in St. Louis, and I've owned a landscape design business just from being able to build websites and rank them and then either sell the leads, but I've turned those auto glass repair and landscape design into actual companies because we were outranking like everybody. And so there were so many leads coming in that people couldn't handle the flow or didn't want to pay what it was worth. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not just going to let this sit here. I'm just going to go become your competitor. So that's where a lot of our like service-based businesses, our contractors, now we've started to work with quite a few real estate investors as well. That's where we started to really gain momentum because I had 200 websites with all these case studies before I ever tried to get money for it. And so most people haven't even built 200 websites that are charging so much money, much less done it for free, just to get the experience and all those things. So I was always about like providing value and all those things in order to get myself to a place. People are wondering like, how did I grow on my first agency to, you know, multiple seven figures and seven figures in our first 15 months? It's because I wasn't hopping in like most marketing agencies where they're like, hey, Justin, hey, Vince, give me a bunch of money. I'm going to throw crap against the wall and see if it works. I had already kind of knew what worked and what didn't. Right. So we do everything from logo branding, web design, SEO, Google ads, Facebook ads, all that good stuff. So, yeah, I know I kind of went through a lot there, but hopefully that helps.
Yeah.
That's all right. I want to back up to you getting into the digital ad space or digital marketing space, I should say. So I think we've all been there where you get on the computer and type in the how do you make money online. So, you know, finding, you know, all the different options out there, like what drew you more to digital marketing than other things that are out there? Like what was kind of the pull for that?
That's a great question. So when I was in college, I worked a couple different internships, and one of those internships was for a marketing company doing a lot of the same stuff. And the other one was selling third-party delivery services to local businesses and restaurants and things like that. So I've always loved the idea of helping local businesses, but working in corporate America, it's like you're selling to large companies and things like that. You're never actually helping the small business. And I come from a family of entrepreneurs. So I saw it as a way to go help the people that like were most important to me, friends that had businesses, things like that. And again, it was obviously not like a for sure or a guarantee, but I was really, really like looking at like the Amazon drop shipping and the eBay reselling stuff. And there were nightmare stories everywhere. I'm like, okay, I at least know that marketing is a real thing. So I'm going to go put my eggs in that basket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool.
That's cool. And if I remember correctly, this is kind of a quick little tangent, but when we had lunch, or it was maybe when we had lunch or you posted it online, but with the auto glass company, didn't you just start that to see if you could rank it and get it better than anybody else? It's kind of like a project.
Yes. So when I built those first 200 websites, like I had no clients, right? So like I'm literally building a mock auto glass repair website, a mock roofing company, a mock landscape design company. And what I would do is I would then go sell those leads basically as a digital landlord. So some people might pay me rent. Some people would pay per lead or commission and all those things. Well, the auto glass one, it took us about a year and a half to like dominate. So we went from like 30 to 40 to like 50 calls a month. And then all of a sudden in like a 2 month span, it went to like 300 calls a month. Well, the guy that I was sending the leads to here in St. Louis, he's like, I can't pay you what these are worth. And I can't even handle. He's like, I've been in business 15 years and I've never received this many phone calls on a monthly basis from Google stuff. Like it's just going to sit here. All right. So I cold called Safelite. I cold called every other auto glass company in St. Louis and was like, will you just buy this website or pay me what this is worth? Because I don't want to start an auto glass company. I don't know the first thing about auto glass. So everybody turned me down. I got no after no after no after no. They were like, this isn't real. There's no way you're getting this many calls. And so finally I got that like, okay, I'm going to prove you wrong moment. I'll just become your competitor. So I started that in January of 2021, and we're up to, we'll do close to $1 million a year this year in business. We got five trucks. five technicians. My uncle is now partnered with me on that company, and we have a manager in place because, like, it was just growing way too much for me to be able to handle as I'm growing the marketing company and other things. But we have over 300 five-star reviews on Google, something that literally was just like a fake company of sorts, a website that was out there in the universe that ended up being able to be, you know, a seven-figure company.
Man, we haven't got to it yet, but we'll promote your businesses at the end. But that's a testimony right there to hire you immediately.
like for sure. You know what's crazy is I've had two cracked windshields, my car and Susie's car just recently. So I get a brand new car like a year and a half ago, a month later, cracked windshield. She gets a brand new car a month ago. And just recently cracked windshield. I was like, what the heck is going on here? So I probably have found you on Google. However, State Farm just has a, you know, relationship with Kirkwood Auto Glass, and that's where they send stuff. But yeah,
yep, that's exactly it.
That's awesome. I love that you started it as like a, I love that it started as a test and has turned into an actual company. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I want to, so You work with a lot of real estate investors, right? You work with service-based industries, real estate investors, and some others out there. For someone who's just getting into real estate, or maybe they've got a couple deals, they're doing it as like a side hustle type thing. What's an easy way to explain what SEO is to somebody who knows nothing about it and the importance of it?
Absolutely. Great question. So SEO, I refer to it as like going to the gym on the internet. It's not an overnight success. It's basically building out your digital real estate online of something that you got to show up each and every single day, week, month, quarter, what have you, in order to gain steam and gain exposure on your competition that's already out there. So people that have never done SEO before or people that are just getting started, of course, there's all the people that are already on the first page of Google and the first 10 pages of Google, if you're not even there yet, that you have to figure out how you can overcome what their current status and their current ranking is. So I compare it to like going to the gym and putting the reps in each and every single day, week, month, quarter, what have you, by adding content and optimizing the content that's on your website. That's like base number one. That's like on-site SEO. Then you have your Google business listing. So your Google business listing is, I compare it to that as like the upper body when you're going to work out the gym, because it's like the cool and the sexy thing. Because when you type in real estate investor or buy my house for sell my house for cash near me, that's the first thing that typically pops up outside of ads. And then you have the organic foundation of the website, which is going to be your legs, not the basically the foundation of it, but not the sexy thing that everybody like loves to just go and see the upper body at the gym. And so you can be, you know, getting Google reviews, you can be posting to your Google business listing, you can go get more citations and things like that. We can dive deeper in a bit if you guys are interested. But where most people go wrong is they'll try to dump a bunch of money into paid stuff. They'll go in all these different directions and be like, oh, I need to have social media, like paid posting and all those things. Somebody that's just getting started, you should be doing these things on your own, likely before you ever go and hire a company to do them, because you have to get started. And it's going to take a little bit to obviously take off. You can't just like buy your way consistently to the first page outside of doing ads, but that's not a long-term strategy for success. You want to have the SEO, you want to have the foundation there as well. But most people, when we're talking to them, are like, okay, great. Do you have a Facebook page? Are you posting organically on your own Facebook page about what it is that you do? Well, no, but we do post a little bit on our Facebook page, you know, every once in a while, once we get a deal. Okay, well, nobody knows who you are or what you're doing. So all of these things compound. When you're posting organically on social media, when you're doing it on your business page, when you start to throw ads, when you're doing SEO, stuff starts to come in from all of these different directions. But SEO is the best return on investment long-term, because like with our auto glass company, for example, we don't spend money on paid ads. We get 1500 leads a month on average, and we don't pay a dime for it. But we put in work for a couple of years in order to get that. So the payoff long term is no different than actual real estate, where you're like, hey, I got all these properties now. They're cash flowing me a bunch of money. And now I'm able to actually get a massive return on investment for work that I did years ago. Now, again, you got to do maintenance. You got to do other things like that. But your return on investment isn't capped. with paid advertising, it is, because you're always having to pay the piper to get exposure to get to that first page of Google.
Right. And because ultimately what we've seen, because we've spent a lot of time and money over the last 5 years on SEO for all of our companies to make sure that we're showing up on keyword searches, right? And making sure that we're relevant and we're up at the top. I will say one area we are horrible at is the Google My Business stuff. We have it and there's reviews, but that's about all we do. So I'm curious to know a little bit more about what you would do or what you currently do with clients to help increase the reach there as well, because that's something that all of our companies have, and it's kind of like it's established and then it's forgotten about, other than like reviews, right? Like that's something we focus on, is we want reviews coming in from clients and new ones and all that kind of stuff. But outside of that, we don't really do much with that. So what are some things that people can be doing with that, either in our business or as a real estate investor? Like, you've got that established as, you know, we buy St. Louis homes or whatever. What are some tips and tricks that you would do for that?
So there's three main components that come into the Google business as a whole. And I'll actually touch on reviews as well, because so many people do reviews wrong, right? So they're like, hey, I just want to go get a bunch of reviews. And then you get a bunch of people that have 5 stars, but then there's no actual written review, or it's a written review and just says like, Justin and Vince are amazing. Okay, great. Like, that's a 5-star review, but it's not the quality of review that Google is looking for in order to get your stuff out to more people. So I'll give you a great example for a real estate investor of what would be great. Let's say somebody calls you, Justin and Vince, and they say, hey, I just went through a divorce and I got a house in Oakville, Missouri, and I'm looking to get this off my hands. I don't want to go through a realtor. I don't want to go through all those things. Like, I'm just looking to sell this house. Well, you take care of them, you get everything good to go. Then in that review, Miss Susie or whoever writes literally in that review, I called Justin and Vince. I just went through a divorce. We were looking to get this house off of our hands super quick. And they were able to get me a cash offer in 2448, whatever it was, right? They made the process so seamless. This house was in Oakville, Missouri. So then the next time somebody says, hey, I'm looking to sell my house fast for cash in Oakville, not only do you ideally have a location page on your website about that keyword, but that Google review will populate when somebody's looking for something near me, because in the review, which is something that you can't manipulate with SEO, it's actually a third-party person writing about their experience, you're going to dominate. So with our auto glass company, we have very, very specific reviews, or we educate them to be like, yeah, somebody came out to our home or our business to repair my glass or replace my glass on my 2017 X, Y, and Z car in Chesterfield, Missouri. We just dominate because we go deeper than just getting the 5-star review. So that's aspect number one that's super, super important. Aspect number two that's super important with the Google business listing is just like overall profile optimization. Making sure that like everything that Google's asking for you, there's like 7 or 8 steps on there, making sure that it's actually filled out to completion. When we onboard new clients, I would say 1 out of 10 of them actually have gone in and actually done that themselves. These are all free things that you can go and do and just make sure that you're utilizing everything that Google has there. Also posting once a week at minimum on their platform. So it's basically like their own social media network where you can go post once a week. And we always typically will have like a picture of a house or whatever from a deal or a project that was closed. And then you write specifically about that stuff. And then you drive it back to the website or a call now button. Again, it's like adding blogs and content to the website. Once a week is a good place to start. But most people don't post on their Google business profile at all. And then number three is citation.
I don't think we've posted once.
most people don't. And the third thing is business citations and listings. So you can get like 100 listings from like platforms like Yext and all these other places that are out there. But we have a software that'll get our clients up to 400. And you can go platform by platform. Like, you can go sign up with yellowpages.com. You can go sign up with Uber, even though nobody's going to like find you on Uber. But when Google sees that you have all of these other authoritative directories, and there's Justin and Vince's real estate company, and here's their phone number, and here's the address of at least where the business is listed, they're going to rank you more authoritatively at a higher clip than your competition, because most people, again, don't go to the lengths, even though you can pay to get it done, don't go to the lengths to actually get it done. They also want to make sure you're a legitimate business and that you don't have one business name on Google with one phone number, and then every other directory, there's 17 different ways to say your business name, and then there's all these different phone numbers that are out there. They want to make sure you're not like a fly-by-night company that is typically revealed of scamming people or just being some marketer, right? That is the third aspect that like ties everything together. So that way, in your mind, SEO is just, how does Google see my stuff? And I want to make sure that when Google sees my stuff, I want them to think authority. And that's how you do it with the Google Business Profile.
Got it.
That's good stuff, man. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I've half of that I didn't know, you know, but even the reviews aspects, like we don't have a ton at the moment. It's always been hard for us to get reviews for some reason. Like it's just, so we have to chase people, it feels like, but which is totally fine. But it's like the reviews we do get, we are making sure that they're not just a 5-star review, that there is some messaging, there is some like case study or success story or something that went like that. And it's not like, you know, my mom saying like, Justin's a great business owner. You know what I mean? Like it's actual real live examples of customers and success stories that they've had. So, you know, for real estate investment folks, like a good place that I've seen this happen is at the closing table, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you, as a real estate investor, you're at the closing table, two things that I've seen a lot of people do, and I'm curious if you've seen them do stuff differently or if there's additional things that they could do. But, you know, first is getting a video testimonial that you can use and just a quick little selfie style video of, you know, hey, I'm here at the closing table with Ron. Here's the property. Here's what we did. Ron, how's your experience? Let them run through and explain kind of how it was for 30 to 60 seconds. And then at that time, have them leave the same review on Google as well. So those are like two things that we see and that we do in our business down in Louisiana. But I'm curious, like, have you seen other things like that that people can utilize to help get reviews, especially pertaining to real estate investment?
Yeah. So great question. And what you're doing is, and what you're explaining is a lot of the right things that 99% of people don't do. 99% of people don't get video testimonials, and 99% of people don't take advantage of being at that closing table and having the emotion play a factor into getting that review. And I mean, it's a layup right there, right? Typically what I recommend is setting the expectation. Yeah. So once you're engaging with Ron, for example, be like, hey, Ron, as we're going throughout this process, our goal is to deliver you a 5-star experience. Here's what our 5-star experience looks like. So you set the expectations on the front end. And at the end of this, this is exactly what we said it was going to be like. I know there's going to be some hiccups and things like that. That's how this goes. But our goal is to deliver that 5-star experience and meet and exceed the expectations that we're talking about here. At the end of it, we would absolutely love to get a video testimonial and a 5-star Google review. So that way we can help out more people just like you going through your exact situation. Ron, is that something that you'd be willing to do? 9.9 times out of 10, they're going to be like, yeah, absolutely. And even probably every single time they're going to say yes. You just got to set the expectation that this is going to happen, over deliver on those expectations, and then ask for it at the closing table. The second thing is obviously like adding automation and things like that, because of course there's not always going to be that opportunity where people are like, hey, I'm super busy, I got X, Y, and Z going on. So I always typically also will say automation as well, whether it's text message, email, having something in the CRM to do like a follow-up and just call and make sure that you get the review. That's an aspect. And then third is like a leave behind thing. So I don't necessarily know a ton of people doing this in the real estate investment space, but I'll give you an example for the auto glass repair company and how you can tie this into the real estate investment space. So for the auto glass repair company, what we have is we actually have an air freshener that we will leave with everybody that has Auto Glass Repair of STL. And on the back of it, it's a QR code linking to the Google Business listing profile. So that way they can leave a review. And our techs, we actually compensate our technicians to get reviews. And then as they're leaving and they set the expectations, get the review and close it. But they, like, somebody's like, hey, you know, I don't, can you pull it up on my phone and all those things? Oh no. Hey, great, Ron. You know what? We're actually just going to take a picture of this QR code and it's an air freshener that I'm going to leave in your car. We have, like, I think it went up like 70% now of people are leaving reviews when it was like a 25% adoption. By setting the expectations, meeting and exceeding, and then also having a leave behind, that they're going to go put in their car because they're like, okay, I want it to obviously smell good. So then they do that and it's a leave behind and it's a nice gesture.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And everyone's... Oh, go ahead. It's funny you say that. We recently just got some new windows here at the house. And when they were done, he left his, a card, and on the back of the card was a QR code to go do exactly that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something I don't see a lot of, and I've never honestly even thought about it. We do something kind of similar at Ballpoint where they get a like on the box it will literally say like tag us, leave us a review, and then we have some email automations and stuff like that that'll allow people to do that. But I do like the idea of an actual physical card or something like that, because all of our products are boxed up, shipped out to the customer, and that way they can drop it in the mail where they're at. So I like the idea of having that, because I see it all the time in every single package I get, right? Everything from Amazon, everything from, wherever it comes from has a little review card on there. And it's an easy kind of thing to add in. And especially with the QR code, like I'm a big fit, like for me anyway, and I'm sure you both are probably like this too. If it's not made easy for me, I'm not going to go out of my way to leave a review. Exactly. Like I need someone to hold my hand and make this as easy as possible, because it's just not a priority for me. As much as I loved the business or the service, like it's just not something I'm focused on. So if you want the review, make it as easy as possible for me to give it to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a text message is super easy. Like if I'm on the phone, they're like, will you stay on the line and leave a review? I'm like, no.
Yeah. I think Charter is the internet company here that does that. Press one if you want to stay on the line to leave a review. Like, no, I'm good. I'm not going to do that.
Right. So Adam, I want to back up just a little bit here. So, getting into real estate and you have an investor that, builds a, or creates a brand, builds a website, they're on Google My Business. You talked about like them doing it on their own as far as SEO is concerned. Now, what do you tell someone? Like, where do they begin with that on their own? Do you have a resource on YouTube that they can go to? Or does, the person that helped with their website build, do they have things that they could provide? Like, where would you lead an investor that's just starting out in that?
Yeah, great question. So I think it's going to really depend on like where they're building their website. Like a lot of times people come to us with the Carrot websites or some other type of builder that at least makes it easy to build off of, right? So the number one thing is I would say is like don't use a platform like a GoDaddy or a Wix or a Squarespace, because it's more of just like an online brochure, and any money that you dump into it, whether it's SEO or ads or any of those types of things, you're basically just lighting it on fire. So whether it's Carrot, Duda, or WordPress, which is what we also build in, that's going to be a solid foundation. If you go back to like the foundation talk, the foundation on a house where we can actually build stuff on top of, that's what you're ultimately going to want. I don't recommend people long-term doing all the SEO on their own, because if you want to get in a very, very good spot and in a competitive market, you're just not going to be able to do it on your own unless you're, well-versed in SEO. What I refer to about like at least getting started is having that solid foundation and then adding content to the website. So Carrot obviously has a good situation where you can easily add location pages and blogs and all those things, but we still see sites that people aren't adding anything to it. So it's like if you come to an SEO company with a 50-page website, the SEO efforts, when you hire a company like us, it's going to be so much better because there's more things that we can go out there and rank and optimize and do all those things versus if you just have a landing page or like a 3 or 4 page or a 10 page website, you could have been doing all of that stuff on your own to make it at a point when you go hire the marketing company, it's going to be a better takeoff period. So a lot of times people will show up to a marketing company and they'll be like, hey, I'm just getting started, or I have this website and ad account, I want you guys to blow it up right now. Well, it's like, okay, we're comparing chapter 1 and 2 to other people's chapters 10, 15, 20, and 30. We have a lot of catch up to do. So even if it's not perfect, even if you're not an SEO expert, there's plenty of resources that are out there where you can just go consistently add content. Doesn't have to be overcomplicated. Doesn't have to be great. But location pages are big. service pages are big, all the different keywords somebody might type in order to actually do business with you. And third is writing a blog. Top five things to know when you're going through a divorce and looking to sell your house fast for cash. Something like that. And the great thing is we have, you know, AI technology with ChatGPT, not necessarily to write the content, because we never recommend typically doing that because Google's very smart. But hey, ChatGPT, can I get 10 blog topics?
About to ask you about that.
Yeah. Can I get 10 blog topics to write about that? So then that way I can go in and actually write the stuff, right? And then you have all of this stuff out there. Every single time you add a new page to your website and then it gets re-indexed, Google's like, okay, they're going to the gym. They're putting the work in. They're doing all that stuff. We always recommend being consistent about it. So don't go add 20 pages in 1 month and then do nothing else for 6 months. We typically will recommend 1 to 2 pages a week. Continue to go, show up to the gym. Google knows you're there. New stuff's getting indexed. Every single time Google re-indexes your website, you then start to rank for more keywords and increase the ranking of the keywords that you're already ranking for, while also doing things like backlinks, press releases, all of those other types of SEO strategies. But with a really, really good content plan, meaning, hey, I'm just adding content to my website, you will start to generate traffic and leads into your website without going full blown. But when you're like, hey, no, I really want to get on that first page of Google for all these different keywords, that's when it makes sense to really push the envelope and hire somebody that obviously knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something we found too. Like, cause we are spending originally $2,000 a month, maybe. This is kind of off topic, but there's a guy here locally, Jason Moss, that's done a lot of our SEO stuff. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not, but has worked with a lot of real estate folks over the years. And for us, I think an important distinction to make for people too is, like you said, it takes time for this stuff to start working and showing. Like, I think we went 6 to 9 months before we really started to like even show up on page one, and that was like at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And you know, so you're 12 to 15 16 grand in before you're starting to see some of that stuff come in. So I do think it's important for people, if you're paying somebody to do it right, starting out doing your own content, I think is a great place to start from what I've seen. But I do want to, just to circle back, you said about AI real quick. So that's something that we don't use it in that manner of just creating the content. We use it as like ideas. Give me ideas of what are things I can do. And I think that's a very, very important distinction, because like you said, Google's very smart. Facebook is very smart. Instagram's very smart. Like it can tell that something is done with AI or, you know, things like that. So have you, just out of curiosity, have you guys tested or seen people just do straight content creation or blog creation in AI, post it and see it just start to cause opposite effects?
Yeah. So one thing that I think a lot of people have a misconception on is that because of ChatGPT, like AI is new. There's been a tool around for years called Jasper. And even before that, there was other stuff that it just wasn't talked about, because in my opinion, Jasper sucks. Like, it doesn't even sound anything remotely like human beings or make sense or all these things. Google has always said, hey, we're really smart. We have AI detection and all these things in order to be able to figure out what's AI and what's not. So people were trying to use all of that stuff for a very, very long time. There is no, as of today, as we're recording this, like, hey, a for sure one way or the other of seeing that, like, Google is going to ding you. They just keep saying as more and more AI comes out, it's eventually going to happen. And they haven't like said exactly that, but they've hinted to all of those other things. So we've seen and we've tested stuff out on like sites that we own just to kind of like see where it's at. You're not seeing like a slap on the wrist like Google technically typically does when you do something they don't want with AI specifically. Now, there is reports of that happening. We just haven't seen it. Most of the marketing people that I know haven't seen it either. We just don't want to find out what that looks like, whether it's in 6 months, next month, or in the next couple of years. Because when Google does something like that and they have the technology to do it, your stuff takes forever to get back up. So you just talked about like the 6 to 9 months. Not only do you get the kickback, but then it's like, okay, now I got to go another 6 to 9 months to like get that stuff up back to where it was. typically with everything, right, it's quantity, but it's also the quality of the quantity. That outweighs everything with Google. So, and kind of going on a tangent here, but what we typically will do when we bring on a new client, the way that you're able to outrank and compete with the big dogs that have been spending money for years and that are already there is you do a content gap analysis. What I mean by that is if you have a 25-page website right now and everybody on the first page of Google, the top five people have 100-plus page websites, you can almost identify how long it's going to take for you to be able to get there based on what the gap is between how much content that they have. Now, not all of the content is good. So you kind of have to sift through and be like, okay, these five companies, here's the stuff that's driving all the traffic. And we have third-party tools to be able to see all this stuff. But we figure out how can we do it, I was going to say quicker, but how can we do it faster, stronger, more efficiently? So, for example, if they've been doing it for a couple of years, but they've only been doing two new pages or three new pages a month, okay, how can we do 8 new pages, 10 new pages a month to cut back the amount of time it's going to take for us to get to where they've been? And that's where most people go wrong. They just look at the competition and say, hey, I'm going to go do work. I'm going to go add content. I'm going to go do all these things, but they don't actually analyze the success and then understanding that success leaves clues. Okay, what's driving traffic? What keywords are they ranking for? And then how do I close that gap? So that's why we call it a content gap analysis.
Makes a lot of sense. I like that. Wait, so you mentioned Carrot a few minutes ago, which that's a huge like template site everybody uses to get started. I think it works very, very well. But I do see people make mistakes when they're setting those up or starting them. And a couple things you had mentioned of like changing content. I've seen like, because it's a template site, I've seen times where like someone will be in Wisconsin and all the house images are like stucco and clay.
In Arizona.
Yeah. And it's like, you don't have palm trees up there. So that's usually something I always recommend to people is like, just make sure you're changing out imagery that it matches the homes in your area. But if someone's pulling into and starting a new Carrot site, right? Like what are a few things you would do to optimize that from the beginning and to kind of start setting that up for success while they're then going to work on blog posts and, you know, updates and posting and all that kind of stuff. Like since it's a template site, I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Yep. So there's a couple different factors. So on the back end of Google, there's what is referred as on-site like technical SEO. So you can title every single page, including the homepage. That's obviously most important where I would start. And then every single service, blog post, location page, what have you on your website. So you can title it with typically Google recommends under 60 characters. And then the description of that page is under 150 characters. So what you're going to do is you're going to go to any one of the tools that are out there, or you can pretty much figure out on your own by what other people's titles and descriptions are when you do that search on Google. You want to make sure that you have the title reflective of what is most searched in your area, meaning like the most searched thing that also happens to have maybe the least competitive of those things. So where most people go wrong is they're like, oh, I want to be number one for we buy houses or whatever, St. Louis, or sell my house fast for cash, St. Louis. Those ones are typically, whether it's SEO or Google Ads, the most expensive and the most competitive ones. You want to go after those things, don't get me wrong, but if there's something lower hanging fruit, I'd rather, and let's just say that search up there has 1,000, you know, searches a month, but the keyword difficulty is super, super difficult. I'd rather go after the one that has like 150 or 200 with a lot less difficulty, because I'd rather have much more of that smaller pie than nothing of that bigger pie, or like a little fraction when it comes to SEO and keywords. Mm. So you want to make sure that your title, whatever it ends up being, whatever you end up deciding on, is like sell my house fast for cash, St. Louis, hyphen, and then the name of your business. That's like a standard of like what an optimized SEO title would be. And then in the description, you reiterate what that keyword was with your business name. So Adam Buys Houses is the best, or the premier, or whatever you want to, you know, call about company, real estate investing company in St. Louis when you're looking to sell your house fast for cash. And then you get it up to 150 characters and then you go. So that's like aspect number one that you do on the homepage, and then every other page that's out there. So let's just say there's a page for Oakville, Missouri, or selling my house because of a divorce, or inherited property. All of those types of things, you want to plug that keyword in up to at the top. And then every single page on your website in Google's minds reads like a book. So you're going to have different headers, which are basically just like titles of a book, with your header number one being most important. You want to have one of those. And then you can have multiple H2 through H6s. But again, you just want to make sure that you're telling Google, hey, here's the main keyword, here's the location, and then you switch up combinations of all the different keywords you want to be doing. So you can kind of mix and match that. And then they're obviously looking for like the quality of the content as well, and interlinking between your site. So for example, if you're like, hey, whether you're looking to sell your house cash for fast or fast for cash, or you just went through a divorce, whatever it might be, you have the hyphen around or the hyperlink around divorce. That drives you to the divorce page on your website, and Google starts to rank you for those keywords because of the interlinking on your website. So that's a lot of stuff. But the last thing, which most every single time people forget about, is Google doesn't read images and videos. So as you mentioned, like there's people in Wisconsin that have houses in Arizona, California, all that stuff on their website. Even if you were able to like know, like, hey, I look at that and that's clearly not a house, you can still, with alt text, tell Google, hey, this is a picture of us buying or selling a house that somebody was looking, or buying a house somebody was looking to sell for cash in Oakville, Missouri. And that will start to rank you for keywords as well. So that's referred to as alt text. And most people don't have that. They just don't go to that measure. They don't even have the right pictures on their website. They definitely don't go to the measure to tell Google, hey, this is what the picture's of. So those four key aspects will be things that you can do on your own to get it in a good spot, regardless of hiring an SEO company or not.
Is alt text like, is that like an image descriptor like below it, kind of like explaining what that image is, or is it something different?
It's on the back end. So like it's technically, hey, you're describing what the image is, but it's on the back end. So Google's not going to read or understand the video or image. They're going to understand the alt text that you put behind it.
Got it. So you're essentially, it's not something that if I go to your website, I'm going to see, but it's built into the back end explaining, hey, this is what this image is. So it is essentially then, since it can't read those images, taking that data and helping rank that stuff and making your page more prominent.
Exactly.
Interesting. Okay. That's cool. I didn't know that. Go ahead, Vince. Did you have a question?
Oh, yeah. So just talking about, you know, visibility, exposure, do you coach your clients on like, hey, we're going to do this SEO thing, it's going to be better. Are you prepared for lead intake? Like, do you coach them on that side? Because the exposure is going to come, right? And you talked about like you getting leads on these websites and trying to sell them to other people. And like, I can't even process this. Do you coach people on that end? Like, hey, be ready to capture. Do you have the tools and tech in place? Do you have the sales process in place? Like on the back end, because that exposure is coming. Does that make sense?
It does. So where we start and where we stop is more so like on the tech stack. Now, I will say most of the people that we work with are in some type of coaching or mastermind program, because that's where I've spent a lot of my time as well. So we're typically working with people that are already working through like processes and systems and all of those types of things. Of course, there's the outliers. And of course, there's people that say, hey, Adam, yeah, we can take on a bunch more leads. And then we send them the leads and we go to the call log and they're not answering 90% of the phone calls. We see that stuff happen all the time because they're overwhelmed, right? But what we try to do is we try not to overcomplicate getting more leads from a technical standpoint. So we try to integrate with our dashboard. So we have a dashboard that everybody can log into. They can go and listen to the phone call. They can see the contact form. They can see all that stuff. And we want to make sure that we can send that information over to their CRM or through Zapier or anything like that as easy as possible. So it's not like, okay, they're in this whole other system where they're having to update all of those things. But you can start to gamify digital marketing when you take the technology side and the data analyzation side to a different level. And that's what we want to bring, because I've been the type of person, and I've consulted for businesses before as well. You can try to work on all of those things as much as you possibly want, but until it happens and until more leads actually come in, you don't know what's going to break a lot of times. So we can be doing all this work over here and doing that when that time is better spent on us just trying to get the phone to ring and ring more and then fixing the problem once it's there. Ideally, obviously, the problem never occurs, but we all know how people run businesses. It's not always tightened up.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, I bring that up, you know, just a Call Porter plug here. You know, I speak to real estate investors every single day, and, you know, they're doing all kinds of different marketing. They're doing direct mail, they're doing TV, radio, PPC, SEO, Google, you know, all those things. And I find out so many times they weren't prepared for it. So they, you know, they weren't prepared for their phone to ring, which is why exactly, you know, Call Porter even exists. And, you know, we've set up a system at Call Porter called Instant Web Lead Capture and Dial. So let's say, you know, they are getting traffic via SEO and someone fills out a web form. We're essentially integrating with that lead where we can make an outbound call to the person that even sets up a web form, you know, so that we can get in contact with them and process and qualify the lead for the investor. Or on the you know, inbound call side of things, we're actually taking those calls for them. So we're bringing their, you know, 40% answering rate up to 98% answering, you know, overnight, so to speak. And, you know, just saving a lot of real estate investors the headache of worrying about those leads going away and not catching them or losing them to another competitor, whatever the case might be. So it's just, I would just say super important, like, have something in place to catch those leads, because you're just wasting your money and setting it on fire.
Oh,
especially on the marketing side. And Adam, I'm sure you see this too. Like, if you're spending time, money, energy to get the leads, don't waste them. Right. like answer the phone or the email or the text or whatever it is and make sure that that stuff gets taken care of, because then you're just throwing money down the drain. And I see it consistently. Like, even like Vince said, when we're reaching out to people or calling clients, and every single time it goes to a voicemail, it's like your leads are seeing the same thing. And for me, like, I'm just going to go to Google and see who's next, right? Like, see what's ranking, right? Who's showing up on the Google My Business page first? Mm-hmm. That's who I'm going to call next if I'm looking for something. So make sure you're answering those. Cool. So to pivot kind of to topic two, and thank you for the in-depth knowledge that I now have on SEO that I didn't have before. I had a brief kind of understanding of it and how we utilize it, but some of the key tips and tricks I think will be super helpful for people that are listening, and myself included. Let's talk about branding, because this is also very important as well. And well, you started something new around coaching with branding, which we can get to in a few minutes as well. But, you know, this is something that I think every real estate investor needs to know. Because I get people all the time that'll reach out to send mail through Ballpoint, for example, that are like, I don't worry about putting a logo on it. I don't need the website, like, just a phone number. I'm like, do you have that stuff? Because if you do, let's use it, because that's going to give you more help when people are going to be calling. Yeah, street cred, exactly. But, like, for me, branding has been such an important part of our business because we want to stand out above and beyond from people. So when you work with real estate investors or even service-based businesses, what are some of the things you guys focus on around branding and the importance of it?
Yeah. So there's really like two main components of it. And it depends on like where you're at in business as the entrepreneur and also where you're trying to go. So my specialty is more in the personal branding side. So branding yourself as the entrepreneur that just so happens to be the expert in digital marketing or branding or real estate investing, while also playing that into the branding of the company. And simultaneously, obviously, two things are going to grow when you're doing both things. With the branding and in terms of like the actual business itself, it's really understanding the foundation of who your ideal client is. Because if you're not understanding who your ideal client is, you have no idea how you want to brand yourself or who your marketing and advertising is going to go to. When you're marketing to everybody, you're really marketing to nobody. No different than if we're bringing on somebody for digital marketing, and it's like, hey, who is your, you know, what type of leads do you want? I know you keep talking, everybody says, hey, I want more leads because it's like the sexy thing. Okay, yeah, I'll just take anybody that's looking to sell their house quick for cash. Okay, awesome. So if I send it to you in this zip code over here, and it's a really low ticket, low dollar amount deal, are you going to take that? No, I would never work in that zip code. I would never do it for that little of money. Okay, well, you just told me, Ron, that you wanted any deal that's out there. So that's the perception that other people are thinking about you, not, hey, I work in these zip codes, I do these house amounts, I do all of these things, but I focus on this. So by having that ideal client down, you're then able to brand and market to the right people, a niche and target audience, so that way you can get more out of your marketing and advertising and branding and things like that. But it's the consistency of really showing up each and every single day, week, no different than SEO or going to the gym, where you're getting all the content out there. So whether it's short and long form posts, it's reels, it's YouTube videos, it's a combination of all of those things. But what I have seen and where I've learned to really grow, our digital marketing agency, we're going to be a $5 million a year company next year, and 90% of our leads, it's a good thing and a bad thing, comes from something that I'm touching as a partner, as a board member, as a VP in the company, because of my personal branding. And the reason why personal branding can take such a big impact is because people understand, like, the Nikes and, you know, those large companies, Apple, in the world. But when it comes to, like, local small businesses, people are looking to do business, especially in today's environment, with people that they know, like, and trust. So yes, it's really, really important to have your business branding, like, all buttoned up, to have the website, to have the social media page, to have all those things. But my goal has always been, and what it took our company from zero to seven figures in 15 months, was I was top of mind for so many people, because for the last 3.5 years, I posted twice a day on Facebook every single day. I've done at least one reel a day for the last year plus. I have 2 YouTube videos that go out a week. I'm a guest on podcasts just like this. I launch a podcast every Friday, every Thursday. People literally can't go online without seeing me in some sort of fashion. And so when their network is looking for digital marketing, when they're looking for digital marketing, I believe Height is the greatest marketing agency that's ever out there. But I know that there's companies that do it quicker, faster, and stronger, and all those different things, cheaper, of course, as well. But so many people will come back because they're like, Adam knows how to brand and market himself so well, and I've seen him do it, and I see that they have 100+ Google 5-star reviews, and I see they're an Inc. 5000 agency. Your personal brand can help piggyback off a solid foundation from the business, but people want to do business with those that they know, like, and trust, and they want to know that there's a human element behind all of those things. So I've just done a really good job at that, but also not just talking about digital marketing. Less than 10% of my posts have anything to do with digital marketing, but I am looking to connect with more entrepreneurs. So whether they want to work with Height or they want to go into my personal branding program, I just want people to know that I'm a human being and I'm not every other digital marketer, because every other digital marketer, for the most part, is like, hey, here's this, here's why you got to work with me. They're calling you 100 times a week, right? Like, that's not who I am. I don't do any of those things. And it isn't the quick and sexy thing. It's more of like SEO. People will look at my content for 6 months and then sign up, and they're just like ready to go. Like, that's the nice thing when you build that brand and you build that authority to be able to do that. And I see typically with most real estate investors that they will only do a little bit on their personal brand. They may not do anything at all with their business stuff, or they're doing a ton with their business stuff and then absolutely nothing with their personal brand, or they're just sharing on their personal side the business stuff. So they're literally clicking the share button or writing the same exact thing, and then it's just like one big sales pitch. You're not going to get exposure if all you talk about every single day is digital marketing, if all you talk about is real estate investing. I post a meme a day every single day right now. Yesterday, I think there was 15 shares to a ton of people that started following me that I have no idea who they are and would have never known them if I didn't use that meme yesterday. And it has nothing to do with digital marketing, right? The whole goal with all of this stuff is, how do I get the Adam McChesney brand? How do I get that out there more? I'm the top of the funnel, and then my businesses benefit from that. No different than what you would want with real estate investing.
I really like that, because that's something that we've seen in our own businesses. So like my business partner is my brother, and he's had a much bigger like social media following for years. And it's literally because he's just consistent as hell. Like sometimes it doesn't pertain, or most of the time it doesn't pertain to real estate. He has like a cadence every day of like his stories are coffee, cars, personal development, and then a win from a client is typically like the four things he goes through. And it's like, for me, I've been starting to do a lot more of it as well, because that has benefited him doing it, has benefited our businesses and got us to that 5-6 million a year mark that you guys are almost at now too. And majority of that has come from just people now know who we are. And the reason we even started this podcast was to just continue to have more brand awareness out there and help people just be better at real estate and not have every single post be like, we have a sale, we have a new product, we have this now. And it's like, you know, those are good and it's nice to have those, but like, I would rather into what you said, like just have more value driven stuff or humor driven stuff or whatever it might be. And like, I've only been doing it myself now for, I don't know, 2 or 3 months consistently. And I'm not even as consistent as you are yet, but like I've seen business come from it. I've had more engagement come from it. And it's like stuff that people that were friends that I never met them before. Right. Like they're friends on Facebook and like just happened to come across and be a new business prospect or, you know, had some really good conversations. And like, that's why you're on this podcast, is I see your stuff every damn day now. It's funny. I engage with it. The stuff that isn't funny is very value driven. And it's, have you ever read the book, The Slight Edge by, I think it's Jeff Olson?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So, I mean, it's basically the same principle. It's just the same, it's like the same actions done every single day add up to a large effect, right? Whether if it's good actions or bad actions, right? If your health, for example, you use the gym reference, if you want to get healthy, eating a burger today for lunch isn't going to kill you tomorrow. But if you have that burger 3 times a week or 4 times a week for 20 years, that adds up to a detrimental effect. Whereas if you do the opposite, have the salad or, you know, do the intermittent fasting or clean eating for that long period of time, you don't notice it in the day. Like when we post reels and stuff, like there's times I'm like, oh, there's only like 300 views on that. That was stupid. But it's that consistency aspect of it that we've seen that like has allowed for more of these videos to get bigger or more people to come into our ecosystem, so to speak, just by being super consistent, even though you're not seeing it today. It's the same thing with losing weight or, you know, eating better, whatever it is, you're not going to see those results today. It's going to be 6 months, a year down the road, however long. And that's, I think, something that a lot of people miss, is they'll get super excited and start it, and then it just kind of fades off into the distance of, I'm not doing it anymore. Right. So,
Yeah. And consistency is, you know, I'm not going to lie, it's tough when you have so many other things that you're doing and engaged in and focused on. And, you know, it's great to have, you know, automation tools and things like that. But yeah, like I feel with, you know, Call Porter Social, our ads that we do, we've been pretty consistent on that. And it's always really cool to get on a phone call or a Zoom and people recognize, you know, me, because I'm the face of Call Porter, right? And they're like, oh, you're that dude. And I'm like, yeah, I'm that guy, you know?
You're the guy, man.
I can't tell you how many times I hear that. And they're like, and then on top of that, they're actually pretty thankful to be talking to somebody at the organization that knows their stuff rather than booking on a calendar and just, you know, hitting somebody that doesn't really care about their success or really doesn't care, you know, what they're doing. And they get me and they're like, I've already seen you on social a ton of times. I've already seen your ads. I've already seen articles that have been written. I see your name everywhere. And they feel a lot more comfortable speaking to me and opening up about their business rather than just somebody they've never heard of before.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. I mean, it goes back to people buy and people work with people that they trust and like. And it's always been, even in sales and all the old sales training stuff from the 80s and 90s still has aspects of that in there of like people are going to buy from people that they like. And, you know, I would, if you're listening to this and you haven't done this yet, like just start posting stuff. Like the funny thing is like, I've seen more engagement on stuff that we've done on houses that we're doing of rehab process or horror stories or whatever it is. Like that kind of stuff is, has always done really well for us because people like learning about that kind of stuff right now. I am curious though, for you, Adam, something I struggle with when I do this on a, when I'm trying to post daily is like running out of ideas, right? Of, or just like, I don't know what the hell to post today. Where do I even start? And like, the thing that I'll notice is like the more I kind of think about it, I'll usually find something. But I'm curious if you have like a system or a process to know, like I know you've got certain amount of posts every day, certain amount of reels, videos from YouTube, all that kind of stuff. But how are you always making sure you have something to talk about?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's one that like I really struggled with for a very long period of time. Up until about 6 months ago, it was like chaos, right? So I'm a visionary. I'm a person that's not super, super organized, consistent, but like I will make it so hard on myself to follow through with the consistency because I don't do good with organization and processes and systems. But right now I have like a running note tab in my phone of topics or ideas or posts or all of those things that I will get from me either being on a podcast or listening to a podcast, something I'm reading in a book, something else that I see online, questions or ideas that I get from potential clients or people that are in my network when I'm on a Zoom call or something like that. And then I'll also get information from my team. Hey, here's the things people are asking about. They're the ones that are obviously working with clients, prospective clients as well. So I just want to make sure that the content that I'm talking about is relevant and at the peak of what's most important to people. And then I will build out my calendar typically every Saturday or Sunday and have the entire week planned out. So I'll have the entire week planned out and not necessarily every post written, but the topic of exactly what I'm going to do, I'll tell you right now, like I know exactly what I'm doing Friday at 5 p.m. for my Friday at 5 p.m. post. I knew that on Sunday. So I think those two things, just having a running list of stuff as well as planning it out in just a simple Google sheet, that's exactly what I do.
So anytime you come up with an idea, you're throwing it on that list. You don't forget it. You know that it's there. It's something you can reference and use later.
100%.
Got it.
Yeah, that's what I do in a Google Doc is I actually, you know, write out the reel, what I'm going to say, you know, when I'm going to post it and things of that sort. Because yeah, it's better to be, you know, prepared in that manner. And thing, you know, things always change. You come up with another idea or something like that. But yeah, like that's kind of my cadence is always to have the Google Reels, or the Google Doc Reels, written out. And then you can go back to those. Like you can recycle old things that you've done a long time ago. Like I've done this a couple of times where I find reels that performed well when I thought like, that's probably going to suck. And for whatever reason, it performed well. And then you kind of recycle it and do something similar. And it kind of gets the same results. And it's actually pretty cool to see. But anybody who can think they can, figure out the algorithm of Instagram or Facebook are fooling themselves. Because I feel like, you know, just be consistent. Like that's really the key to it is just be consistent. Like I don't try to figure things out too much.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. I think my last question on this for you, Adam, have you noticed or do you know anything if there's a, because I've heard from some people that like posting certain times of day is better than others. I know Vinny said he doesn't try too hard to figure out the algorithm. So, you know, if you have an answer, great. If not, totally fine too. But curious if there's like times of days you notice that there's a more engagement than others.
Yeah, so with my three posts on Facebook and most of the social media outlets right now, I typically do 7 12 and 5, Monday through Friday. The reason why I do 7 a.m. is because most of my audience is either on the East Coast, most of them are on the Central time, and then some other people that are obviously like Mountain and Pacific. But even on the East Coast, it's usually before people are like super, super in their day. And I'm obviously going after entrepreneurs, trying to get them to like and engage with my stuff. So that typically is like a really, really good time. I've gone back and forth between short and long form at the beginning of the day. I'm still testing it out right now. But right now I'm doing a lot of long form at the beginning of the day because it seems as if right now people are able to consume more the first thing of the day, like their brains aren't completely washed out versus the end of the day. It's kind of like checking out type of thing. In the middle of the day, I break it up with a meme, and that's been super, super good. And then at the evening, I'll do about 5 o'clock because, again, things are typically winding down. People are starting to get back in front of their phones and computers if they've been out and about. But that's typically what I do Monday through Friday. The weekend, it just kind of depends on what my schedule is like, what other things are going on. But yeah, I try to stay consistent with 7, 12, and 5.
Okay. I know I said that was my last question. I do have one more, though. So there's tools out there like Loomly.com, for example, that I've seen that you can like schedule posts and things like that. Do you recommend doing that, or does that hinder engagement by using a third party platform like that? Because I've seen mixed reviews from people, and I've been told it does, I've been told it doesn't. I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are.
Yeah, so I don't use them. I've tried them. I've always seen that it has hindered engagement on the personal stuff. Business stuff, I think you're pretty good to use whatever, especially the stuff that can go out to multiple tools or multiple platforms at the same time. The algorithms on business and organic are completely different. Because with business, I mean, now organic, you can start to throw ads at it. But with business, they're just trying to show your stuff to more people so that way you get excited and start to throw more towards ad spend. So you can usually get something going quicker on a business page, especially with ad spend, and gain traction versus it's going to take a little bit longer on organic. So I don't typically try to do anything with schedulers, though.
Mm. Got it. That makes sense, especially that they're handled differently. I didn't realize that they are handled differently on there. That makes sense. Cool. We'll pivot and then we'll wrap up here in a few minutes, but we don't have to spend too much time, but you're a new dad. That's exciting. Yeah. How old is your son now?
He'll be 3 months next week.
Okay. This is your first kid, right?
Yes.
Okay. How has that transition been from, you know, obviously a successful business owner, entrepreneur, posting content, doing all these different things, and now you've got a new kid in the mix? Like, what is kind of your transition been, and how has that gone for you so far?
I mean, it's definitely been challenging. I'd be lying if I said anything else. I think I thought, and I still do believe that I'm pretty consistent, that I'm really good with time management, all of those things, but it's challenged me, right? Because I'm the type of person, especially in the environment that we live in, and I made a post about it earlier today, is like the accessibility between social media, having everybody have me in the DMs, email, text message, phone call, it's tough. You know, we have hundreds of clients. I have hundreds of other people that I talk to on a monthly basis. And so it's really about like making time to make time for my family after work, cutting things off, putting the phone down. Like, there's ebbs and flows of when I'm really, really good at it. And then there's times where I'm like, crap, I get lost in something on social media or a conversation that I'm having. I'm like, crap, I shouldn't have done that. but you know, you tell yourself, hey, you have to do this because it's like for the business and for all those things. So I think it's just like a reprioritization of all of those things, because, you know, you can always make an excuse when, you know, I was always making excuses and things like that when we didn't have a child. But now it's like, no, there's this other human that can't live on their own, and you're 100% responsible for them. And even though, you know, he doesn't know what's going on, like, it's still important for many, many reasons for me to be present and involved. And so I think it's just resetting boundaries and expectations for myself and continually evolving, no different than I evolve with personal branding and digital marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I've got three kids. Vinny has five. So I talk about it on every episode. He's braver than anybody I know, for having five kids. But I mean, it's been similar stuff for us too. Like, I used to be the entrepreneur that was available 24/7 a day for any of my clients, any of our team members, things like that. And I used to get worried that, like, I would lose clients if I didn't respond at 10 PM, you know, or 3 AM, you know, if I missed an email, like, oh my gosh, we're going to run into this problem. And the thing that I've found, I'm curious if you've noticed this, and I know you're still kind of working through it, but the thing that I found is, like, as I put those boundaries in place for my family and, you know, friends and things like that, I have no issues with clients at all. Like, they're more than understanding, and it's almost like they kind of get used to what your availability is and what your scheduling is and when you're there to help and when you're on 100% and there to help and dive in and, you know, be there, and when you're not. And I think that's something that a lot of entrepreneurs miss is, and it's real cool that you're doing it already at, you know, 3 months old, but a lot of people miss that and then end up missing time at home, missing time with their wife, their kids, whatever it is, because they're so focused on, I always have to solve this problem immediately, when if you prioritize things properly, you can do it during business hours. Mm.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I think we psych ourselves out as entrepreneurs and think, like, oh my gosh, if I don't get back to them, we think the worst. Like, we don't think, like, what could go well if we set the boundaries and set the expectations, or, like, anywhere in between, we literally think, oh no, this client's going to leave me. And that's just not the case, right? Like, so I think I've had to, like, truly understand and, like, help myself get to a point of, like, hey, you're going to have to be okay if a client does decide to leave, or if you lose out on a potential deal because you didn't respond right away. Those are not the clients you want anyway. And I think that was part of the progression in my business, is, like, I was getting clients for all the wrong reasons. Not wrong because I was doing something wrong, but I was doing, hey, you can call me or text me at any time. Like, I had people, like, asking me for business advice and all these different things. I'm like, that's not what you're paying. I'm happy to help you and all these things, but you're taking advantage of the situation. You're taking advantage of me being nice and being a resource to you. So exactly what you said, I think all this stuff comes full circle, and it's definitely just one of those things that until you figure it out for yourself, you're going to be testing things and figure out what works and what doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't agree more, man. And it's a cool thing to see once you actually put it into place. And it's like, I've seen our businesses grow since I did that, you know, put that in place, or it's like, cool. Things are growing. Things are better than they used to be. And I'm not as crazy. I'm not running around like a chicken with my head cut off. And it's funny, I read your post this morning. It must've been your 7 AM long form one. But I read it this morning before I came into the office today. So I love that you're focusing on that already. Kind of wrap things up here. Talk a little bit about the mastermind you're doing. I want people to be able to find you. If you guys are looking for focusing on personal branding, I'll let Adam explain it a little bit more. But how does that work, and how can people reach out to you and find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So our program is called Builders of Authority. We officially kicked it off as of this week. So December 11th was the first day. We have a course that is going to be launching in mid-January. So that is kind of in a pre-sale right now. We have a mastermind, which is a onboarding call of 45 minutes with myself, as well as a group mastermind with 3 calls a week, 2 office hours, and then 1 weekly training. And then we have an inner circle, which is more one-to-one coaching. So there's 2 45-minute calls with me a month, plus all of those things you get in those other groups. And then we have a free Facebook group, which will all be on the website. I'll share with you here in a second, that people can join. And we do a live weekly training in there. But the goal behind this is, I've learned a lot of lessons about growing a multi-million dollar business through my personal brand. Most people will grow the business without the personal brand. and or they'll just be so disconjointed and disconnected, people don't have them tied together, so they don't benefit. Their business doesn't benefit from their personal brand. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help entrepreneurs separate themselves from their business while also benefiting the business. So I don't want to be looked at as just the digital marketer. I am so much more capable of so many other things, more of like the serial entrepreneur, the person of impact, the person that speaks at events, that has a podcast, that is just like a go-to valued resource. I want to bring that to more people through what I have gone through in my journey and teach them how to get started. A lot of the people in this first initial, we have 7 people signed up right now. Most of them have not really started. And then we have people that have been doing it, but they want to tweak and they want to optimize and they want to add more stuff and they want to get better and more consistent at it. So there's the one-on-one environment. There's the group coaching environment, just depending upon where you're at in business, really looking to take your personal brand to the next level for whatever reason that might be. We have a couple people that have only done stuff in their business or they've only branded themselves as the business, but they want to sell in the next 3 to 5 years. And they don't want to sell and then not have an identity or not have a brand. They want to go coach and consult or start a new company and all these things. And they don't want to be just known as Adam, the digital marketer. So you can go over to buildauthority.co/nextdeal. And you'll be able to see everything that we have going on there, including our free Facebook group. Just search us on Facebook, which is Builders of Authority.
Awesome. Thank you, man. I'm very excited for it. I'm going to talk to my business partner about joining it as well, because it's something that I think will just increase our overall reach and effectiveness as a business, because that's literally how we've seen these businesses grow, has been through personal branding on his side and having more than one person on there, because that's something I run into where it's like, oh, you're the direct mail marketing guy. And I'm like, yeah, but I also focus on so much other stuff. Like, personal development is my favorite thing on the planet. Like, that, I'd rather talk about that and how it can impact your business, you know? So I absolutely love that, man. And we'll make sure to share the links on all these videos. We'll send you out all the stuff once we're done as well, so you can post it as well. But thank you so much for doing this. This was awesome. And I'm excited to be on your podcast tomorrow, actually. So this will be a good, fun week of hanging out.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks, man. You guys have a great week.